Translation. Therefore, day by day, one who is actually aware of religious principles and is not heinously envious of poor animals should happily perform daily sacrifices and those for certain occasions with whatever food is available easily by the grace of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word Dharmavit, meaning one who knows the actual purpose of religion, is very significant. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarva Dharmam Parichagya Man Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Becoming Krishna conscious is the topmost stage in understanding of religious principles. One who reaches the stage performs the Archana process in devotional service. Anyone, whether a Grihastha or a Sannyasi, can keep small deities of the Lord suitably packed or, if possible, installed, and thus worship the deities of Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, and Lord Jagannath, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by offering food prepared in ghee and then offering the sanctified prasad to the forefathers, demigods, and other living entities as a matter of routine daily work. All the centres of our Krishna conscious movement have deity worship programs very nicely going on, in which food is offered to the deity and distributed to the first-class Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and even to the people in general. This performance of sacrifice brings complete satisfaction. The members of the Krishna conscious movement engage daily in such transcendental activities. Thus, in our Krishna conscious movement, there is no question of killing animals. Om Aganti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is carrying on from Friday, and we're talking about how Brahminical culture is so important to society, and this particular chapter is now explaining the practical application of that Brahminical culture. And so this particular verse is referring to, we talked about different levels of sacrifice, that everybody in human society should perform some kind of sacrifice, but ultimately in this particular verse it's talking about the best sacrifice. And before one can really perform, or by that sacrifice, one should become satisfied in life. We spoke about the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, stating that we may not feel so satisfied in the beginning of devotional service, and maybe for some time, that we're still affected by the pushings and pullings of the senses, and therefore it's very disturbing to one's ongoing Krishna consciousness. We're thinking, when will this ever stop? And so we spoke how the Lord says in one verse that my devotee knows this is actually very harmful, or not very harmful, but very painful when he engages in sense gratification. But nonetheless, he should carry on and be happy. Be happy in the practice of devotional service. And so this particular verse is explaining how one can remain happy in devotional service. People are performing some, it's sacrifice, isn't it? Some sacrifice has to be there. In society, if there's no sacrifice, then we get a very heinous society eventually. Modern day, I remember when I was working, it was a time of mechanization. Lay people off and let the machine do the work. And I couldn't understand why they were doing it. And when I brought this up in a topic with my work friends, they all looked at me aghast. What's the matter with this guy? And they were saying, no, this is for pleasure. In the future, we'll have no work to do. It'll be all leisure time. But there's a simple saying in society, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. You know, we know that lust is never satisfied. How much pleasure can before we eventually we realize that this pleasure is not satisfying? Then what do? We go on to nefarious activities which become deeper and deeper in society. And so the leaders of society, because of the lack of this knowledge, how to make people peaceful, how to govern people properly so that they're happy, they're giving them things which are superficially giving them some happiness, but ultimately they lead to more and more distress. There's more and more disease in life. People can't even eat properly. They're not able to offer nice foodstuffs to the Lord and take prasadam. People, what's the biggest disease in society now? Yeah, the head disease. People just can't take it anymore. So many people are disturbed. So many. I was at home the other day. I called in for one night. I was doing a program in Sheffield. Stayed at my mother's. And when I was loading the car up to come back, somebody at the bus stop said, Haribo. Well, he didn't say Haribo, but he shouted at me, and I thought, who's that? And so I walked over, and then I recognised him. I said, oh, we were talking. I said, and how's your older brother going on? Oh, he's still, and what about your younger brother? He says, oh, he committed suicide. Hung himself. And so that's just down the road when I was in Manchester Temple. I walked in the shop one day and there was two brothers runners, and he looked a little bit disturbed, the younger brother actually. And then he revealed that his older brother had also done the same in the shop. Why are people doing that? So, you know, life is so precious, so dear. But, you know, the modern system makes life so hellish that people can't afford to stay in this particular situation. They want to get out. So this is the wrong time. This is completely the opposite of what it should be. What's the Lord's understanding or the Lord's outlook on life for everybody? Sarva sukhino bhavantu. Everybody should be happy. I want to make everybody happy. If you want to, you can serve me and be happy. That's the best. But if you don't want to, I'll try and make arrangements by which you can still be happy. And he's making so many arrangements. And so this is not the Lord's doing. Sometimes out of ignorance we say that, don't we? Why is the Lord allowing all this unhappiness and suffering? No, we have to look at the way of life we're leading. So santushta, it mentioned in this verse, very happy, or peacefulness, satisfaction. So where's that come from? When people are taught about the goal of life, when people have everybody just has a goal. We've just been saying that because they can't employ people, there's so much. What do they do if they can't employ people? What's the way to engage them? Hey, that's a good one. That, yeah, television. When you walk in, you know, it's like a one-eyed monster in the corner, isn't it? When I visited my mother, I have to be prepared. I have to really work myself up for this. Because when I go into the house, I know the television's going to be in the corner, and if I happen to look at it, that's it. Conversation stopped. No matter what people say, I just don't hear. You become completely absorbed. So you have to get through that stage. Yeah, television, that's the biggest, you know. What do they do in India now? You know, they bring everybody into the cities, this shanty town, and every little, not thatched up, but corrugated hut has got an area on top. Everybody's got a television. And also in boring wooden bushy in places like this, they also have televisions. So this is very absorbing for the conditioned soul. What's another way of absorbing? They open the pubs, don't they? The pubs used to be open from, what time was it? Does anybody remember? About 10 o'clock in the morning, I think it was, till 2 in the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon. Then they used to shut for some hours, then open at night. But now what do? They can open as much as they want. Why are they doing that? Seems strange, doesn't it? Because they know that people are not engaged, and so they have to subdue them. So religion is the opiate of the people. You know, it actually tames them, keeps them under control. But the sense gratification is the opiate of the people. So this is the way the modern societies, the modern leaders are engaging people. Not in this yogya of offering nice foodstuffs to the deity, but in all these nefarious activities. So there has to be some sacrifice, this is the point. Sacrifice is very important. So what's the... satisfaction we were talking about. Satisfaction comes from sacrifice. So when Lord Vamadev, he was asked by Bali Maharaj, you know, take anything you want from me, I can give you the whole universe if you want. What did he ask for? 3 paces of land. And Balimara was thinking, I'll give him another chance. He's only a young boy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's only asked for 3 paces of land. He says, no, ask me for anything. I can give you anything you want. And he says, no, I'll take 3 paces of land. He says, if I'm not satisfied with 3 paces of land, I won't be satisfied with the whole universe. So to become satisfied in life, it's not a matter of material acquisitions or gaining things. It's a matter of internal happiness, keeping the externals to a minimum so that we can develop internally. When we have something, peace comes from having an ultimate goal in life, the Bhagavad Gita says. Everybody's got a temporary goal. It keeps them engaged. But they're still not peaceful because there's no ultimate goal. When one is convinced about the ultimate goal, then he can actually have peace in his life. And so this process, which has been given in the in this 11th verse, is explaining that the simple process of offering worship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Archa Vigraha form, and especially the offering of foodstuffs, is very satisfying to the heart. So what's that sacrifice it gives in the Bhagavad Gita about offering? It says, Yagnathat karmano nyacha, loko yam karma bandana, tadartham karma kuntya, mukta sangha samachara. It says that sacrifice has to be performed for Vishnu. Otherwise it just ties us to this material world. Then a little later on it talks about sacrifice to the demigods. Well, this is incomplete. Krishna is the root of the demigods and everything else. So a sacrifice should be performed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how should that sacrifice be performed? Yogya shisht tashino shanta munchite karva sil kilbisai munchite te tam agam papa yo bhajanti atma karanat. That when food is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's relieved from all kinds of sinful activity. Because sinful activity comes through the mouth. What we eat affects the bloodstream, affects the consciousness, and then affects our activity. So if we're eating purified foodstuffs offered to the Supreme Lord, then naturally we're in good consciousness. So this is a very important point, that offering foods in the right consciousness is the key. We offer the right consciousness and we receive spiritual consciousness. So Prabhupada writes in the next verse, Anad bhavanti bhutani prayanyat anasambhava yoga bhavati prayanyo yoga karma samudbhava. That this sacrifice is performed through one's prescribed duty. By performing sacrifice according to one's prescribed duty, then one is fixed in devotional service. This is a natural process. But in the purport, Prabhupada starts speaking about the offering of prasadam again. All living entities subsist on food grains. Food grains are born from what? From rains. Rains are from... Where do we get rains from? Sacrifice. And sacrifice is born of prescribed duty. So I remember one devotee was telling me he was living in New Brindavan, and the leader there took them to a radio interview. And they were having this interview and asking all kinds of questions. And at that time, there'd been a drought in that part of America for months. And then the question cropped up from the interviewer, radio interview. He said, you're talking about this sacrifice to the Supreme Lord. If you're worshipping the Supreme Lord, can he send rains? And the leader said, yes, we can make it rain. And all the other devotees were going, oh no, what has he done now? And so he'd put his pretty neck on the line. And so the interviewer challenged him. He said, okay then, what do you have to do? And he said, well, we perform this Harinam Sankirtan. And so they performed this Harinam Sankirtan on the radio. And then what happened? Nothing. And then after some time, everybody was getting a little bit anxious. And then they had this phone call from the meteorological office. And it was to the radio office to give the news. It said that there are clouds forming on the horizon. And 10 minutes later, they were chucking it down with rain. So, this devotee got actually faith. This is the sacrifice. That by sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, all necessities are provided. We may say that, Prabhupada says, the communists may say they're providing the bread. But it's actually Krishna. In that verse, it speaks about what can we get from the factories. Now it's a factory. Everywhere we go, there's factories, no farms. Very few farms. If there's a farm, what are they producing? This yellow stuff, is it? What they call it? There's fields and fields of this yellow rapeseed. But Prabhupada said this verse, Anad Bhavanti Bhutani, is the answer. This challenges everybody. When they come with their arguments about modern civilization and mechanization and so many other things, it says, then you put this verse forward. Because what does it mean? It means that everything comes from the field. Nobody can live without the field produce. And that comes from sacrifice to the Supreme Lord. It says, then we can say to them, can you eat your nuts and bolts? No, they can't. And this is the age is coming like that. In the 12th canto, it gives prediction that unless this sacrifice is performed, this Sankirtan Yajna, which includes offering prasadam also, he says that, what's that verse? Shaka Moolam Ishara Shodra. Kala Pushpasti Bhojana. Anavriksha Vinakshanti. Durbiksha Karapidita. Durbiksha, there will be no charity. There will be no rains from the Supreme Lord. People resort to eating, what is it? Leaves, fruits, wild honey, amisha, meat. There may be no milk products. I think I mentioned in a few classes ago how we've got plenty of milk now, haven't we? Is that right? The supermarket's full of it. Rows and rows. Actually, but one devotee was, Janandamara, he was saying that this is not milk. He's got a disciple who's in some field of research, and they deal with this, with foodstuffs. He says, well, no, what they do, homogenize. He says, they're not mixing the fat in with it. So that it's homogenized, it don't make sense, does it? Why do they want to do that? They're thinking about people's health so we can digest it. They're not going to do that. They're just after money. So why is there no fat on top of the milk? Because there ain't any fat in it. There is some fat in it, actually, but what they do, they break it down and then they extract the whey out of it. Whey is the essential part of the milk. And then they reconstitute it. And then they mix it up so that what fat's left is actually mixed in with it. And then they said it's because that's the reason we've homogenized it. We've mixed the fat. What they've done, they've took the whey out. Then they powder it and they flog it. So they make profit out of the whey. And then they flog the milk and make profit out of the milk. So what if you leave milk outside the fridge for it takes a long time to go off. Have you noticed? It takes ages to go off. Real milk takes about one day. After one day, there's a little bit that it starts to smell a little bit. The next day, it's starting to curdle. If it's a warm day. Pasteurized milk, 3 days. Maybe 4 days if you're lucky. This milk 2 weeks. So what's happened? Then after 2 weeks, have you noticed what happens? Has anybody waited 2 weeks to see what happens? The old people have got rid of it by then. It just turns to plastic in the bottom of the bottle. You just, you know, empty it out, chunk. So what are we actually eating? No milk. We're already on the platform of Shaka Mula Misha. The shortage. Anyway, this is some points. So this... Prabhupada said, if we perform sacrifice, there's no shortage for the devotee. A devotee has to become convinced about that. Otherwise, we get into so many untoward activities which take away our focus on devotional life, and we become materially dependent again. The examples given of Prabhupada in 1940 was in Bengal. The British were fighting the Japanese, who were just down the road in Burma. And the aeroplanes were coming over. It says the British actually caused a famine, rice shortage. It says rice was 75 cents for 82 pounds of rice. Very, very cheap. He says, due to this blockade which took place, he says it shot up to, what was it? $10. $10 for the same amount, like 10,000-fold. He says, so people were in difficulty. People were starving. And not all devotees are rich, are they? Have you noticed? Not all devotees have plenty of money. He says, but after the war, he said, there was no shortage for me. He said, we never went without. It was difficult. After the war, he was asking all the different devotees. Some had money, some didn't have money. He says none of them went without. They were all performing this simple, whatever they had, they were offering it to the deity, cooking nice food stuff. And so there was always some provision. So this is the way forward in devotion. We're satisfied with the simple things in life. Otherwise, the mind becomes complicated by too many material things, and devotional service starts to take a second place. Just this simple thing of offering things to the deity in the house. It requires a mode of goodness, doesn't it? We have to be, convinced about the process, convinced about the practice. Chanting Hare Krishna, making the mind receptive to the practice of devotional service. So, So the beginning of devotional service is this actually, Patram Pushpam Palam Tayam, Yome Bhakti Priyachati, Tadaham Bhakti Uparitam, Ashname Priyata Atmana. Let Krishna satisfied by this process. And this is not an ordinary sacrifice. First, Krishna is telling Arjuna the process of surrendering. He's saying, you just offer things to me. It's a reciprocation between two people. If we want to make friends with somebody, what do? I remember Sripati in Chaupati temple. He was actually associated with Prabhupada for some time. And he said when he was in, I think he was in England, he was taking his electrical engineering degree. And he didn't know how to do technical drawing. He was first class at everything. He got full marks in technology, practice, in regulations. But when it came to technical drawing, he said he couldn't draw for peanuts. So one person in his class, he was very good at drawing, so he invited him to lunch. Fed him very nicely, and he learned how to do drawing of him. So this is a natural reciprocation. If we want to make a relationship, then we offer something from that person. This is what Krishna's saying in the Bhagavad Gita. And it's not the particular offering, but it's the devotion that we do things in. The devotional mood's there. If we don't do that, then the next verse, Yad Karoshi Yad Asnashi, Yajjahasi Dadasi Yat, Yat Tapashyasi Kuntiyat, Mat Kurushva Madhapanam. It says that then we have to go to the second stage. And what is that second stage? That we perform Nishkam Karma Bhakti. In this verse, we've been told to perform pure Bhakti Yoga by offering the foodstuffs to the Supreme Lord. Is it a very difficult process? If we can't do that very well, it says, okay, perform the next standard. We do our particular sacrifice, what we want to do. We choose what we want to do, and then we decide to offer it to Krishna. This process means we decide to please Krishna by this simple offering. This is Bhakti Yoga. Otherwise, we do it for ourselves, second class devotional service. Nishkam Karma Yoga. So this is also mentioned in Archana. And Lord Kapila Dev says, by this simple process, one can come to the point where one's reciprocation with the Lord is verbal. One can actually speak to the deity. The deity is none different from Krishna. One has to be very, very advanced. But Prabhupada writes this in his purport. The deity will eventually speak to us just by this simple process. And also in this particular purport, he's speaking about reciprocation of offering to the deity, reciprocation of offering to devotees, but more important is reciprocation of offering prasadam to the general public. When you think about it, we don't know a lot of... I mean, yesterday is about the biggest day of the year for prasadam distribution. I think Parashuram cooks about 11,000 plates of prasadam. You know, but the rest of the year, what do we do? How many devotees have we got in the movement? And how many actually distribute prasadam? You know, sometimes you say, Grihasthas don't have time to do book distribution and so many other things because we have other engagements. But we have to cook. And Prabhupada said that to his early disciple, didn't he? Who asked him, he just got married, he said, Prabhupada, what's the duty of a Grihastha? And he said, you walk outside your house and shout after you've cooked, is anybody hungry? Is any hungry man about? Three times. And if nobody comes, then you can take. If somebody comes, then they take first. If there's nothing less, well, you have to cook more next time. And so, actually, you know, it's a simple, but how does that go on? I'm not saying we should do that practically, but still, prasadam can be distributed. You know, simple prasadam kept in the pocket to distribute to people as we're going along. Offering to the neighbours. So much preaching. Lord Kapila Dev, he knew the art. Not Lord Kapila Dev, what's that devotee? Ranti Dev. He shows ideal householder. He was fasting for 1 year. And then the day of the fast came and the demigods wanted to test Ranti Dev because he was known to be a most munificent person. So Krishna sometimes puts his devotees through. He really stretches him to see how far his devotion will go. And so Ranti Devi was about to take prasadam with his family, and this, I forget what order it was, but this Brahmin came and said, oh, I'm very hungry, I really need something to eat, I haven't eaten for days, can you supply something? So he halved everything and gave all his family, gave it to the Brahmin. They're just about to take again, and this Chandala came along, even lower class person, and he said, I'm extremely hungry, can you feed me? So then he made sure his family got something to eat, and so he gave him half of his prasad, what was left, and the Chandala went away happy. And then the Chandala came back with his dogs. He said, my dogs are also hungry. He said, give him the rest of this prasad. He says, anyway, I've still got some water. I can still maintain on this water. And he's just about to take a drink of water, and this, what was it? This low-class person came. He said, I'm really thirsty. Can you give me some water? And, you know, his life depended on it. He'd been fasting for a year. And so, you know, he's so munificent, he gave him the water. And actually he said, we are talking about Santushta. I feel so satisfied now. He says, they can offer, I forget the prayer, but the prayer is very illuminating. He felt so satisfied. Now I have fed this Chandala, I feel that I'm the happiest, I feel completely satisfied, the happiest person in the universe. And so this is the process of devotional service. We make that sacrifice and we never go without. We always get what we need. So we should, even in Grihastha life, we should take this sacrifice very, very seriously, that foodstuffs, it's not difficult for anybody to distribute foodstuffs. And so many people benefit from this prasadam distribution. When Harisori brought his parents to Bhaktivedanta Manor, they visited, and he was Prabhupada's servant at that time. And so Prabhupada didn't meet them, but Parisori took them round and showed them everything, and he went to the kitchen and there was no prasadam left. What, he had eaten it all. So anyway, his parents went away, and afterwards Prabhupada said, so how did they like it? Oh, very much, Prabhupada, they were very impressed. He said, did they get prasadam? He said, no, Prabhupada, there was none left. And Prabhupada looked very, very unhappy. He said, they said, what's the use? A person can come, and unless we engage them with a tongue in taking some prasadam and the ear of hearing some holy name, this is the sacrifice it's talking about. then it's really very difficult to engage anybody in devotional service. So, this is a household's duty to distribute prasadam. It's written here by Prabhupada. All the eatables first cooked by the wife of Advaita Acharya, then were cooked by the wife of Advaita Acharya. Then Srila Advaita Acharya personally offered everything to Lord Vishnu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the ideal householder's life. The husband and wife live together and the husband works very hard to secure paraphernalia for worshipping Lord Vishnu. The wife at home cooks a variety of foods for Lord Vishnu and the husband offers it to the deity. After that aarti is performed, a prasadam is distributed amongst family members, guests, according to the Vedic principles. There must always be guests in the householder's house. In my childhood, I have actually seen my Prabhupada, it relates how his father would never eat alone. He would always invite some sadhus and feed them and then ask for blessings for his son, Abhay. Please let him become a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. So, according to Vedic principles, householders, before taking lunch, should go outside and shout very loudly, see if there's anyone without food. In this way, he invites people to take prasadam. If someone comes to the householder, offers him prasadam, and if someone comes, the householder offers him prasadam, and if there is not much left, he should offer his own portion to the guests. If no one responds to his call, the householder can accept his own lunch. Thus, the householder's life is also a kind of austerity. Because of this, the householder's life is called Grihastha Ashram. And although a person may live with wife and children happily in Krishna consciousness, he also observes regulative principles followed in any temple. If there is no Krishna consciousness, the householder's abode is like Grihamedi's house. Householders in Krishna consciousness are actually Grihasthas, that is, those living in the ashram with their families and children. Sri Advaita Prabhu was an ideal Grihastha, and his house was the ideal Grihastha ashram. So it's 25 past now, we can stop if there's any comments or questions.